Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody on Facebook, on YouTube. Hallelujah. Good morning. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford, and we have a word that we are going to receive this morning from him. Amen. Amen. So this morning, let us shake off all the stuff that's been bothering us throughout the week. For those of you who are at home, it's our first really, really cold Sunday. Snuggle up and feel the warmth of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's get our minds straight. Let's get focused on the Lord so that we may enjoy his presence this morning. Amen? Amen. I'm going to open us up with prayer so if we can all stand, and then I will read our scripture. Christ Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning to assemble and hear your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for making a way despite all the viruses and illnesses that are going on. People can still hear your word, that you've made electronic ways for your word to be delivered, to be recorded, listened to this morning and later. For we need your word. We need your presence, Christ Jesus. There are so many things, the ups and downs of life, which our flesh causes us to focus on. We thank you, Lord, for you walked across all those circumstances. Help us, Lord, to keep focused on you. But we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your providing. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for hope in you, Christ Jesus. For you are constant. And if we would just acknowledge that in our hearts and minds at all times, you are constant, not moving, not changing, in control, perceiving all situations. Help us, Lord, to realize that and trust in you fully at all times. We thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you for being who you are. Bless the pastor this morning to deliver your word. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and our minds, that we would go out after hearing your word and witness to your glory for those out there who need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from our scripture this morning, and I'm going to be coming from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. So 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, but I'm reading from the Blue Letter Bible, which labels this part Thanksgiving for the Believers. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We're getting close to the word. Sister Leah Reed is here, so we can hear her wonderful voice and sing along and prepare our hearts and minds. Amen, Sister Leah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good. And even as he said, what is important is we hearing the word. And so as we think about hearing the word and the Lord preparing our hearts and our minds, the song, Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. So we say, welcome into this place, Lord, you're welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Lord, you're welcome into this place. Lord, you're welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we oh, Lord, Lord, prepare me, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Hallelujah.
Way through these passages again. Mark 7:24. Isaiah 49:5 and John 10:16. Amen. So beginning in Mark 7:24, our primary text, it says, from there he arose and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. When she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Amen. What a wonderful story. Isaiah 49:5-6, if we add to the witness. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him? For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Verse 6, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. And then lastly, John 10:16, famous passage. Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Amen. Hey, this Sunday morning on just a few days before Thanksgiving, I want to talk from the subject of leftovers. Appropriate for this time of year and this holiday season that is coming upon us. I want to talk about leftovers and lift up the principle in this story regarding this Syrophoenician woman. Amen. Is that all right with you? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours today, that we might peer into the word of God and that we might hear something coming out of the canon of scripture that might encourage and uplift our hearts, strengthen us for the days, weeks ahead, that we might live and be lights for you in this dark world. And like this Syrophoenician woman, that we might have the faith to believe you for the impossible. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. I don't know about you, but for me and this time of year, thinking about the Thanksgiving holiday and with that Thanksgiving dinner in specifically, the better part of the holiday for me is really what occurs on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're all familiar that on the fourth Sunday or the third Sunday, whatever it is, of November is always Thanksgiving. And we always prepare ourselves. So many people are even in that mode now, preparing, shopping for food, shopping, getting their homes ready, inviting folks over, family and friends. And the big day is always Thursday. Why? Because Thursday is when we celebrate Thanksgiving. But as I was saying, for me, the best part of the holiday is really what occurs on the days after Thanksgiving. Because on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, you have the opportunity to eat Thanksgiving dinner over and over and over again. Imagine a wonderful world of being able to wake up Friday morning and have Thanksgiving dinner for breakfast. Somewhere around 1 o'clock, have Thanksgiving dinner for lunch. Around 6, 7 o'clock, have what? Thanksgiving dinner for dinner. And then to be able to repeat that on Saturday morning and even Sunday morning if you get up early enough before you go to church. I don't know about you, I'm a fan of leftovers. It can't go forever, but at least the second or third day, it still holds a little bit of its charm, taste, and flavors. Now, I say all of that. Now, if you're listening to what we have read and what you know of the story in this parable, the real miracle in this parable is in the leftovers. If you're with me in the spirit this morning, that if you're with me, you've got the whole sermon. That's the whole sermon is really about leftovers. Let's take a look and let me see if the Holy Spirit will bear me out here. It says, he arose from there and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. He had left the region of Galilee, where we talked last time in the preceding verses, where he was approached by Pharisees and scribes that had come down from Jerusalem, really to try to trap him or to trap his disciples, if you will, and by extension, trap him, and have this debate over tradition and law. And so, here he is in Galilee, which is a region where there are many Jews at that time lived. The prominent or dominant religion, because there were so many Jews, was Judaism. And there was an agreement, at least among the Jews, on who the one true God was, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the text tells us here that he now leaves that region, a predominantly Jewish region, he himself being a Jew, now goes to this other region, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Tyre and Sidon, which is, by contrast, the exact opposite. Okay? This region was more populated with Gentiles. Okay, meaning non-Jews, non-covenant people. So they're populated with Gentiles. The predominant religion was not Judaism, was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, they had pagan religions, meaning they worshiped, idols, they made their own gods and set up their own religious systems. And so, again, by contrast, Jesus himself being a Jew ministers in Galilee and in Galilee finds great opposition to his ministry, right? And he's ministering to who? His own people, Jews just like him. People who were familiar with going to the temple on what? The Sabbath. They were familiar with the law. They were familiar with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Yet, he found great opposition, okay? So now, he gets up, gets his boys, and says, hey, let's travel to another part. And the text helps us say, what we can glean out of the text is that he goes to this other region, one, to move away from the opposition that he is facing from these Jews who are resistant to his ministry. But is also, as we've learned throughout the Gospel of Mark, seeking private time with his disciples. Okay? They, just like Jesus, have also been under attack by the Jews. The religious leader says, hey, let's go over, let's spend some private time together, right? Let me begin to pour into you directly and more deeper. So let's go into a region where I am less known and there's less commotion around us, okay? So he wants to come here for some privacy, shall we say. When he gets here, verse 25 tells us that for a woman who's young, the end of 24, let me flow it down. He entered a house and wanted no one to know it. That's the privacy. But he says he could not be hidden, okay? Jesus could not be hidden, right? If we had a real church crowd here, that would preach itself, right? Because how many of us know that what? Jesus Christ can what? Cannot be hidden, especially when he lives in us. But like I said, that's a sermon for another day and another preacher. Verse 25 said, but a woman, right, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. Somehow the word got out that Jesus was now in this part of the country, this area, right, and he was staying in this house, right? And so now she journeys over there to see Jesus, right? Even though his intent is privacy, she comes to where he is, enters the house, and the text said she fell at his feet, okay? And she fell at his feet because this woman sought him out, fell at his feet because she had a pressing need, okay? She sought him out, fell at his feet because she had a pressing need. The question for us, the challenge for us today is whether or not you or I have a pressing need for the Master. One of the things that is often puzzling in the times in which we live, so many people do not feel a need for Jesus, okay? They feel self-sufficient. They feel that they're able to handle life on their own. They feel that they can keep everything under control themselves. And there is no need for a supernatural power to be at work in their lives. Well, why don't you go to church? Well, I don't really need to go to church. Well, why won't you believe in Jesus? Well, I really don't need a Jesus. I really don't need a Savior. I don't have a pressing need for any religion or any other thing other than myself and what I'm able to do, right? But Isaiah tells us in 55:6, he tells us this, that we ought to seek the Lord while he may be found, right? And that we ought to call upon him while he's what? Yet near, right? Right? Because all of us need a Lord and a Savior. Am I right about it? Verse 26. Now, Mark tells us something about this woman who is going against everything that Jesus is trying to do in this moment, okay? He's trying to have private time. He's not out for public ministry. You know, this is not him going into the Sabbath. This is not him preaching. This is Jesus wanting private time along with his disciples that he may further instruct them. She interrupts his privacy and now falls in, and not just quietly or politely, but in an abrupt manner. You got to let your imagination. She comes in an abrupt manner and throws herself on the floor in front of him. You follow what I'm saying? Now, Mark tells us some things about this woman. Says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Okay? So that's her issue. She has a demonically possessed daughter and now has traveled all this way to seek Jesus out and now throws herself in front of Jesus in order to ask this request. The woman was a non-Jew in both her language and in her religion. Okay? Mark tells us she was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician. She's not Jewish. She's not brought up in the customs of Judaism. If she is religious, she definitely does not worship the God of Israel, right? Right? And so, this woman, contrary to Jesus, opposite of what Jesus' agenda is for that time and that period, breaks his privacy, interrupts what he wants to do because of this pressing issue, right? And so she begins to, the other translation tells us that she begins to beg Jesus to cast this demonic spirit out of her daughter. So here Jesus is, again, wanting some private time, wanting some rest from public ministry, wanting some freedom from being in the public spotlight, being in verbal debates, people pulling on him, tugging on him. How many people know what it's like to want a break from people pulling at you and tugging on you and always wanting something from? Sometimes you just want a break, need a break, just for your own mental sanity. So this woman comes. She comes to Jesus, and here it is. She presents her issue. She's begging Jesus, meaning she's repeating it over and over. And so Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God, the Lord of mercy, one full of compassion, responds with this statement. Verse 27, Jesus says to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." Are you serious? Jesus Christ? A woman has come, thrown herself at his feet in desperate need, dire straits. Follow what I'm saying? I mean, just if you're going to help anybody, Jesus doesn't offer to help pick her up. Jesus doesn't instruct the boys, "Hey, help her get to her feet so I can understand what she's saying." No. She's on the floor, face down, repeating for him to heal her, and he responds with a cold-hearted statement. Do you hear what he says? Jesus says, "Let the children be filled first." Anybody know what that means? Even before we get to the theological reference, what he's saying is, hey, let my kids eat first. What he's saying is, why would I heal your daughter when I've got my own people and their daughters also being vexed? Right? Jesus is telling her, wait a minute, you don't belong at the front of this line. Not of my ministry. Because if anybody's going to be blessed by my ministry, it's going to be what? My Father's children first. This is your Savior. All right? Listen what he said. This is what he said. He said, "But let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." If anybody can tell someone off, it's Jesus Christ. He can do it and still be in heaven. So he said, this is the response. So he's saying, look, you don't have a right to that level of healing, that kind of healing. Not before the Jews, even though they're crazy, even though they're against me, they're still what? My people. They're still the chosen one of my Father. But then he also said, but look, the theological implication to this is that Jesus' responsibility from his Father was to preach the gospel first to the children of Israel. Right? Matthew helps us in Matthew 15:24. Jesus answered and said in this same story, but captured by another writer, said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, when he sends his disciples out onto missionary journeys, tells them to go what? To the house of Israel first. Go to the Jews first. Right? Right? So from a theological perspective, Jesus understood his mission, even if she didn't. In his mission, the Father had sent him first to the house of Israel. Why? Because Israel's purpose was always to be a light to the rest of the world. Right? So he had to get his house right first. Not in exclusion to all others, but in priority to all others, because in so doing so, they would fulfill God's purpose for Israel. Then he said, it's not good to take the children's bread, throw it to dogs. The children's bread refers to God's blessing offered to the Jewish nation. And this picture indicates that the little dogs, here meaning Gentiles, had a place in God's kingdom, but not the prominent one. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say, I got it. So Jesus was saying, hey, wait a minute. Israel's got to eat first, right? And the blessings are to go to Israel first, okay? Because that has always been God's plan and God's purpose. Okay, now you may not have understood that, but Jesus understood that, and he shares that in a rather shocking and somewhat forward and harsh manner with this woman. Okay, Jesus' statement is not shocking enough. The response of the woman is even more shocking. More shocking because she didn't smack her lips. She didn't snap her neck. She didn't get up and twirl around and walk out. But the woman stayed in the position, stayed thrown on the ground. Didn't get up and say, whoa, Mr. Jesus. I don't know who you think you are. You a good preacher and all that, but you ain't God. You follow what I'm saying? Anybody know any women like this? No women here, of course, that goes without saying, right? Right? But she said, 28, we're finished. She answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. She said, yes, Lord. She said, yes, Lord, saying, I'm in agreement with your mission. She said, yes, Lord. I'm in agreement with your mission, and I'm in agreement with your perspective on who I am. You call me a little dog, then so I am. She doesn't look for an opportunity to justify her place or her position. She doesn't seek an opportunity to rebuttal or rebuff Jesus Christ for his seemingly harsh remarks. What on the outside looks as harsh remarks to you and I is really a prophetic message that quickens this woman's faith. I wish I had a real church this Sunday. She says, yes, Lord. So I recognize who I am and where I am. And I recognize that I come to you as one outside of the covenant of Israel. But there's still a place for me. And she proves it by, she says, yet even little dogs, little pet dogs, lap dogs, are still able to eat the crumbs from the children's bed. Because your Father always supplies in such abundance. There is always something of God's power that is always left over. She said, I don't need the best part. I don't need the biggest part. She said, if you would just bless me with a leftover of God's power, it would be more than enough. Look at somebody and say, I just need a leftover. Leftover of God's power. Leftover of God's anointing. Leftover of God's miracle. She said, I don't need the miracles you perform in Jerusalem. Just give me and my daughter a leftover. It'll be more than enough. Somebody shout yes. She said, even the little dogs eat the crumbs. What I call for you today, the leftovers, and are blessed. This woman, she had leftover faith. Unlike the Jews, she didn't have a faith that was steeped in religious background and training, right? One, she was a woman. Her gender was against her. In the temple, they didn't allow women to go beyond a certain point. Her nationality was against her. She was Greek. She was a non-Jew. Outside of the covenant, her gender's against her. Her nationality is against her. And her own family was against her. Because at home, she was living with a devil. And I know somebody listening to what I'm preaching today knows what it's like to live with a devil. Someone who is possessed with an unclean spirit. And how unsettling that can be in a house where the only thing you want is peace. But when you live with somebody who has an unclean spirit, someone who is manipulated and controlled by demonic influence, they will come against your peace and the peace you desire in your house. So this woman, all she had was leftover faith. For all of her life, people had used her gender against her faith. All of her life, people had used the fact that she was outside of the covenant of Israel against her faith. She also had a daughter who was against her faith because her daughter was demonically possessed. So she comes to Jesus and throws herself at his feet. Not only did she throw herself at his feet, she threw what little faith she had left at the master's feet. She said, Lord, all I have is leftover faith. All of my life, my faith has been pushed down, pushed to the side, talked about and belittled. But such as I have, she said, Lord, I give it to you. And I don't need the best portion. And I don't need the best of your power. But if I give you my leftover faith, would you give unto me your leftover power? Give what you gotta give to your people. bless your house first. But whatever is left, let it fall on my house, that I might be delivered, that my daughter might be healed and set free. She said, all I need is a leftover from God. It would be more than enough. Do I got a witness anywhere? Reminds me of another woman comes to Jesus being afflicted in her body for 12 years. She didn't need Jesus to lay her hands on her. She didn't need Jesus to speak a miracle over her life. She too had leftover faith. And she said in herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't say, if I could just touch him. She said, if I could just touch his hem, his garment, and not even the precious part of his garment, the hem, the part that drags in the dirt, the part that gets muddy, the part that, she said, I believe there's enough power left over in the garment of God that it can do the impossible in my life. Do I got a witness this Sunday? Are leftovers enough for you? Are the leftovers of God enough for you to live for him? Somebody shout yes. That's all you need. Are the leftovers of what God can do. So many of us are trying to jockey for position, to be in the best place, to be at the right place, the right time, to be around the right people, the right circumstances, when all you need to do is do what this woman did. She sought Jesus out. She threw herself at his feet and said, Lord, I recognize who I am. She said, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I don't have a right to you. I don't have access to you. You're not related to me by blood. But I have a need in my life that I believe that only you can fix. And even when put at arm's distance to her miracle, to the one who could perform the miracle, she doesn't get upset. She doesn't run away or walk away. She said, Lord, just give me the leftovers. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. Read the Gospels. At other times when Jesus casts out demons, he's in close proximity. At other times when Jesus casts out demons, he often engages the demon in conversation, primarily to keep them quiet regarding his true identity. But for this Phoenician woman, he said, because of what you said. Read it in the text. The text says, Jesus said, because of this saying, what she said revealed her heart condition, and it shed a light on her leftover faith. Jesus said, you shall have exactly what you desire. The Bible says she goes home. And there she finds her daughter, no longer demonically possessed, but lying on the bed, resting comfortably, just as Jesus said. So I encourage you this Thanksgiving holiday, as you prepare yourself for the feast and the fun, the days ahead, remember that the leftovers from God are more than enough. Shall we all stand? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is thy name. We thank you this morning for the crumbs from the master's table. We thank you for the leftover anointing, the leftover power, the remnants of your glory, not even the full weight of your, but just the remnants of your glory, even as you showed them to your servant Moses, and that he caught a glimpse of just the hinder part of God's glory, and it was more than enough. Lord, we thank you. We give you thanks, praise, and honor for the word of God. We thank you that our souls are encouraged and uplifted. And Father, if there's anyone out there with a pressing need such as this woman had, cause them to hear the word of the God today and to seek you out and to throw themselves at your feet and in your presence and to deal with you one-on-one, realizing that just the leftovers from Christ Jesus could change their entire life and turn their situation around. And so, God, we pray that your word finds a resting place in the heart and the souls of listeners everywhere and cause their lives to be changed and even the lives of those that they love and care for dearly. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give your name the glory. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. So one thing I would like to say for those of you who are watching online, via YouTube or Facebook, if you're seeking salvation, if you're seeking prayers, if you're seeking a greater understanding of a relationship with the Lord, reach out to us. Go to our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, or call the church, 215-748-4578. Leave a message. If we don't hear to answer directly, one of the ministers, the deacons, will reach out to you. Amen? Amen. So we can help each other in our walk with Christ. Amen? So the next part of this service is offering time. Hey, I got a hand clap in here. Amen. Offering time. And we are allowed to and able to give in several ways. Let me read this to you. You may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, using the U.S. Postal Service, and now by using Venmo to give by text. Text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, so Taylor 61, to the phone number 73256. You'll receive a link and instructions for how to give. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there. To give by U.S. mail, send a check or money order, no cash, check or money order, to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And then with Venmo, it's Venmo at, so the at sign, Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. So Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Amen? For those who are gathering with us here in the sanctuary, there are two baskets on the side over there, one for our preacher, the speaker offering for the pastor, and the other for our tithes and offerings. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to give you our announcements, and then we'll call the pastor back out. Our announcements. The pastor and the leadership team, once again, as always, we want to thank you for joining us here, live and online. Amen. So that make sure that you are updated in terms of with Facebook or YouTube, following us, joining in, also with the church, to make sure the church has an updated email for you so that we can always reach out to you and send you the information you need. Amen? Amen. And if you decide to join us for in-person worship, You can't see it on the camera, but when we're not up here, we're wearing this. If you watch the news, you got what? COVID, flu, and RSV. I keep wanting to give it some other initials. I'm thinking of some musical group. But we've got all these things that are still floating around. So we are going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to be healthy. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are still having Wednesday night in Bible study and prayer service. That's every Wednesday night. That's via Google Meet. If for some reason you've wondered about it and you haven't received the invites, let us know. Once again, you can call the church or go to the church website, and we'll make sure that you receive the proper link for the Bible study and prayer service every Wednesday. Amen? The church van is in operation. You would leave a message on the church voicemail by Thursday or call Brother Sean Kimball directly to schedule transportation. We have to schedule it. Amen? So we got to do that ahead of time. Reach out to him. Also, let me see. If there's one other thing that's just me, just, hey, enjoy Thanksgiving. Think about all that we've been through. Amen? Let us thank the Lord as we spend time with our families. With that, I'm going to call our pastor back out for our benediction.
Now to him who alone is able to present us faultless before our heavenly Father. Father, purge us with and by your word. Cause your Holy Spirit to have a place of prominence in our lives. Help us to live for you, that we might die in you. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. God bless you, Taylor.